Krishna.
Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Lord Krishna, the Supreme
Personality
of Godhead.
Enam.
This.
Avehi. Just try to understand. Tvam. You. Atmanam. The soul. Akila. Atmanam. Of all living entities. Jagat Hitaya. For the benefit of the whole universe. Saha. He. Api.
Certainly.
Atra. Here. Dehi. A human being. Eva. Like. Abati. Appears. Maya. By his internal potency. So, I just want to repeat for this thing so that the person who was actually transferring my videos, I want to tell him what verse it is because he got upset. I'm not saying it when I'm broadcasting. 10th canto, 14th chapter, text 55. So, translation, you should know Krishna to be the original soul of all living entities. For the benefit of the whole universe, he has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his internal potency. So you can repeat, you should know Krishna,
you should know Krishna
to be the original soul,
to be the original soul
of all living entities.
Of all living entities.
For the benefit of the whole universe.
For the benefit of the whole universe.
He has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his internal potency. So purport by the servants of his divine creation profile. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila, chapter 20, text 162, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. Pariksit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami why Krishna was so beloved by the residents of Vrindavan, who loved him even more than their own offspring or life itself. At that time, Shukadeva Goswami replied that everyone's atma, or soul, is very, very dear, especially to all living entities who have accepted material bodies. However, that atma, the spirit soul, is part and parcel of Krishna. For this reason, Krishna is very dear to every living entity. Everyone's body is very dear to oneself, and one wants to protect the body by all means because within the body, the soul is living. Due to the intimate relationship between the soul and the body is important and dear to everyone. Similarly, the soul, being part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is very, very dear to all living entities. Unfortunately, the soul forgets his constitutional position and thinks he is only the body, dehatma buddhi. Thus, the soul is subjected to the rules and regulations of material nature. When a living entity, by his intelligence, reawakens his attraction for Krishna, he can understand that he is not the body, but part and parcel of Krishna. Thus filled with knowledge, he no longer labors under attachment to the body and everything related to the body. Janasya moho yam aham amati. Material existence, wherein one thinks, I am the body, and this belongs to me, is also illusory. One must redirect his attraction to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, second chapter, seventh chapter states Vasudeva Bhavati Vasudeva Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayati Asubhairagyam Jnanam Chayat Hoitakam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So, Krishna Minam Avehi Tvam Atmanam Akilatmanam Jagadithaya Sopyatra Dehivavati Maya. So Omagana Tipadandasha Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Meditam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So in this verse is the secret of becoming detached from this material world. Immature devotees, new devotees, impersonalists, they try to encourage people in detachment by telling them about the nature of illusion without connection to Krishna. Just like last night, I was telling one devotee to be detached from her mother. And I said, look, you just came into this world through your mother, just like I came into this room through the door. So your mother is no more than door. Pretty heavy statement, isn't it? Yeah, I came in. So it's not that I have an eternal or important relationship with the door. The door can just be replaced. So, of course, you know, it was a quite humorous example. But at the same time, it didn't evoke a spirit of detachment. And, of course, I remember in the early days when I was teaching in the Gurukula, poor kids, you know, then basically I would tell the kids who were missing their mothers, I said, Ma, you know, just quoting Shastra, just quoting Prabhupada, Ma means Maya. And, or I would tell the story of Chitraketu, whose son Harshashoka was brought back to life. And he basically came back to life and said, you know, so many births I have had. And also the story of Sri Vastakur's son who was brought back to life after he died during the kirtan. So many fathers and mothers I've had in this world. It's all illusion. So, you know, we can tell these stories generally. Or the famous Sunday feast class telling about how beauty is only skin deep. You just, of course, we all know about that story. The first time I heard that was from Hridayananda Maharaj. Is you just peel off the skin and you give your beloved the skin. So, I mean, all these different statements about the nature of the material world. Also, you know, these are quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, like Dukaliyama Shastratam. Brahmana Bhuvana Loka Panavartina Varjana Mama Vichitakantiyo Punar Janma the Vijite. They are very nice quotes, but they don't evoke a spirit of detachment in people. And people generally are very attached. Because the attachments, yesterday we were talking about intense emotions. So the attachment in this world is from passion. And that passion, as Bhagavad Gita tells us, gives us happiness in the beginning and then poison at the end. That's the nature of happiness in the mode of passion. Of course, happiness in the mode of goodness is poison or difficulty in the beginning and nectar at the end, which is the opposite. But still, you know, we have this intense emotions in this world. I was thinking about this in regard to the story of the Bhagavatam of Ditti. Ditti, of course, was very attached in spite of having higher spiritual knowledge because all the demigods and their consorts have, and Prajapatis, they have higher spiritual knowledge. She was very attached to her sons, even though the sons were demons. Haranyakashipu and Haranyaksha. In fact, she was so attached to her sons that when the sons were killed by Lord Vishnu, she got angry at Lord Vishnu. And in order to get even to Lord with Lord Vishnu, because she didn't want to kill Lord Vishnu, at least she had that much common sense, she thought she would kill Indra. And she performed this whole austerity, payo vrata, that means living just on drinking milk and doing other things like that. And then after some time, she made a little mistake. And basically by that payo vrata devotional service, she became so purified that even after she gave birth to these 49 Maruts accompanied by Indra, not until the whole story how he tried to kill them all, but She actually liked Indra at that point. So that's really the point, that by devotional service. So what is that? By devotional service, one can overcome passion. This is a statement in the Purport, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. By rendering devotional service, Vasudevi Bhagavati unto Vasudev, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Of course, the Bhakti Yoga means devotional service. Janayati Ashu Vairagya. One can achieve causeless detachment from this world. Janayati Ashu Vairagya. Yanam Charyada Hoitakam. And one can get knowledge, transcendental knowledge. So this is a very important concept. So how do we get this fortune of being performing devotional service? I was listening to a class to Prabhupada of Srila Prabhupada this morning, or morning walk. And Prabhupada was asked the question, how does one become Bhagavan? Bhagavan means fortunate enough to become detached from this material world. Fortunate, in general, fortunate. Actually, first Prabhupada, I wouldn't say misheard the question, but Prabhupada heard it in a different way. He said, how does one become Bhagavan? So, it's interesting. Bhagavan means very opulent, or full of opulence. Bhagavan. So, Prabhupada actually answered in a very interesting way. Sometimes Prabhupada was asked, can you become God? Can you become Bhagavan? And Prabhupada would just smash the person. And then Prabhupada said, by serving God, one can become opulent. Can become actually Bhagavan, just like we hear sometimes. Narada Muni is referred to as Bhagavan Narada. Or great personalities are referred to as Bhagavan. Or even in Europe sometimes, or Great Britain, or England, as it's called nowadays, after the United Kingdom splits, someone's called Lord. That's the name of God. Lord Fauntleroy. So anyway, one's called Lord or Lady or something like that. So then the devotee says, well, actually, Prabhupada, I meant Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagyuwan. So Prabhupada answered, he said, okay, one can become fortunate. Bhagya means fortune. Van means full of fortune. In other words, extremely fortunate. One can become extremely fortunate by coming in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, Bhagyavan, Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Yoga the Beach. And then by that process, one gets the Bhakti Lata Beach, the creeper, or the seed of devotion, which later is transformed into creeper. And then Prabhupada said something very interesting after that. He said, therefore, it is your duty to make others Bhagyavan. It is every devotee's duty. In other words, to preach Krishna consciousness, to make everybody Bhagyavan. So when one becomes Bhagyavan, fortunate, then automatically you become so detached because of the higher attachment or the higher pleasure. Raso Bhajam Rasha Purusha Panam Dushva Vivartate. And then you can become like the residents of Vrindavan that are being described here, who are attached to Krishna more than their own children, or the gopis who are so attached to Krishna that they drop their little babies. I don't know if they just dropped them on the ground or anything like that. But they just left their little babies just to join Krishna. I mean, that's real detachment. And they weren't thinking of detachment. They weren't thinking, oh, these babies are Maya. Because when you think of something as being Maya, you become more attached to it. Attachment and repulsion are opposite sides of the same coin. I remember many years ago, I was traveling with two people who are no longer sannyasis, and they would talk in a negative way about women and about sex life in general. I mean, I won't even tell you what they said. It was just like, oh my God. You know, half of their conversation was about women and how women were this and women were that. And anyway, they both ended up getting married and had some nice children. So it was, so the gopis, they just basically were so absorbed, as we mentioned yesterday. That's one of the standards for happiness or well-being. Actually, there's this type of psychology called positive psychology. I don't know if you heard about it before. It's actually really interesting. I'm doing a whole study of it now. There's an analysis of what constitutes well-being. And one of those, we mentioned yesterday, is being absorbed or in the flow or in the zone, right? Heard this before? It's like sometimes you're playing music on the drum and you're in the zone. Because when I was young, we had this expression, zoned out. What?
That's another zone.
Yeah, but and in the zone, if you're just in the zone and without, let's say, a goal in life or accomplishments or Krishna consciousness, then it's mayavad. It's not enough to be in the zone. Although it's a requirement in the Gita, Krishna also talks about that. He says, what is it? Brahmapranam brahmahavir brahmagno brahmano hutam. Brahma tena gantavyam brahma karma samanam. He talks about one should make a full contribution to Brahman. That means be absorbed in Brahman. Of course, here we're talking about Krishna or Krishna consciousness. And then when one makes a full contribution to Brahman, then everything, I remember the original translation, different than the translation we read now, then everything, the offering, the person doing the offering, the results of the offering, everything becomes transformed and becomes Brahman. In other words, by engaging in Krishna service, yukta vairagya, another expression or way of understanding this, then everything becomes spiritualized. Or as Prabhupada gives the example, when you put an iron rod in the fire, the iron rod gets what? Hotter, and it actually acts for all intents and purposes, like fire. Even though it doesn't look like fire, it acts like fire. So that's that same principle of being absorbed, but actually being absorbed in a mission, a goal, and accomplishing something. You know, that's another standard for happiness, according to positive psychology. Not that I want to bring up positive psychology into this, but accomplishing something, a goal, a mission, social interaction. You know, in other words, devotee association, nadati pradigranati guyamakyati prichati, loving exchange with devotees, giving Krishna consciousness to others. Anyway, so then if one is absorbed like that, then you don't even notice the material energy. Like the, another example, in the 10th canto, it was the wives of the brahmanas. They didn't even notice their husbands. And generally, a wife is very attached to the husband, very attached to the children, like that. Didn't even notice their husbands. They just like, when they heard Krishna was hungry, that was it. Krishna's hungry. Wow. Husbands, what's that? Isn't it? What's that? Of course, don't get upset with me. But anyway, when they heard Krishna was hungry, we got some husbands here. So when they heard Krishna was hungry, he's just like, grab the food. It doesn't matter. It's meant for the sacrifice or not meant for the sacrifice or whatever. Let's grab it. Take it to Krishna. Of course, later on, they were worried that their husbands would be angry with them. Krishna assured them their husbands weren't going to be angry with them. So there's so many other examples too. Another example, of course, he wasn't an absolutely pure devotee at this particular point, was Bharat Maharaj. When Bharat Maharaj actually left his kingdom and everything, it's described that he left his kingdom just like one leaves the latrine. I'm not going to translate that word for you, latrine. It's not French, la, latrine, you know, it means. Anyway, one leaves a place that one passes through. It's like, wow. In other words, there's no attraction for it. It's just like, huh. Or even Yudhisthira Maharaj, when it was time for the Pandavas to retire, he just went to the north. Of course, did it responsibly. He put Parikshit Maharaj in charge at that particular point in the Pandavas. But, and they had just the greatest kingdom. Anyway, there's so many stories about that. So that's really the point. We have to associate... We have to associate with the devotees and who are described by Sanatana Goswami in Sanatana Goswami's purport. He describes devotees as photons. I don't know if he uses this exact word, but that's the translation that's there. Photons of the coming from the sun. Which is really... Or, you know, I'm sure he didn't use the word photon, but it's like rays. Or particles of the rays of the sun. If you think like that, it's really a very poetic expression that Sanatana Goswami uses in his commentary on this particular verse. That just like the pure devotees are like, wow, rays of sunlight. You know, Prabhupada's like a ray of sunlight. And so when you take association with the pure devotees and serve the pure devotees, Mahatsana Mahuravi Muktes, then automatically, one considers everything else to be, you know, all material things, of course, and material attachments to be insignificant. That's why the description is there, that for a devotee, the whole material ocean shrinks to the size of a calf's hoofprint. So you can just step, whoops, sorry about that. I'm getting too emotional. I've been with my Italian godbrothers too much. Marisevita, you know, associated with them. He invited me to Italy. You know. So, the home is. Sorry about that. It's the first time I did that one. The whole material ocean shrinks to the size of a calf's hoof, and one can just like step over this material ocean. And that's Krishna consciousness. It's right there. So, and the way we achieve it is by associating. Associating means to follow the instructions of the pure devotee. Because the pure devotee's words contain the saffron dust particles of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then one experiences nectar. So, on that happy note, I'm trying to keep my glasses on. Any questions or comments? Yes, Christopher.
You were talking in this class, you know, about attachment and about knowledge.
Yeah.
And it seems that attachment can actually overcome. It's more powerful than knowledge, in a sense.
Yes.
So if one has attachment to the material world, your knowledge is wiped out. And if one has attachment to Krishna, then you don't need knowledge of anything else because you're attached to Krishna. So it seems that this attachment is the real issue. Wrong thing you're attached to, like Niti, everything's wiped out. Her intelligence was gone.
Gone, even though she had that knowledge given to her. And that's, of course, the Bhagavad Gita verse, you know, Avritam Gyanam Etena, Gyanina Nichavirana, Kamarupena Kuntia, Dushbrena Lenacha, right? Let me translate. Avritam Gyanam Etena. Avrita means to, Avritam means to cover. Thus one's knowledge becomes covered by one's eternal enemy and the form of lust. Avritam Gyanam Etena. Gyanina Nichavirana. It burns. It actually burns. You know, the fire of lust. Avidam Gyanam Etena, you know, Nitya Vayana. Nitya means it's always burning. Vayana. Kama Rupena. It's the form of lust, Kontiya. And then just pray not Elena Chad, same thing as burning. So this is a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Avidam Gyanam Etena, Gani Nachira. So it's interesting also when one is in. Contrasting this, when one is actually intensely in love with Krishna, one's jnana becomes covered too. And you forget, but you don't need it anymore. But because we're not intensely in love with Krishna, we need jnana. We need sambandha jnana, abhideya jnana. Sambandha meaning we know, need to know the difference between matter and spirit. Of course, we know Prabhupada's pranam mantra. Nirvishesha means not knowing the difference of the categories. You understand? Just like the Mayavadis, they say, it's all one. You know, matter and spirit is one, so it doesn't matter, you know. I am meditating on Brahman by enjoying, you know, whatever, illicit sex life, intoxication, it's all Brahman. Everything's Brahman. You can eat anything. I mean, some of them, like, anyway, they would eat chicken and things like that, or they would consider their wife to be the holy goddess, you know, mother, the divine mother. Imagine calling your wife a divine mother. So, anyway, some people might do that. So we do need this knowledge to be able to discriminate between matter and spirit. It's very important. That's why it's called Buddhi Yoga. You know, Buddhi Yoga means intelligence. You discriminate. This should be done. This should not be done. This engagement is illusion. And then you make the intelligence very strong. You pull your senses back like the another example in the Gita, like the tortoise pulling its limbs within the shell. Because you know this is not the right thing. You do the right thing. So, but then when one becomes immersed in Krishna consciousness, then one just loses their willingness, intellectual discrimination. That's why a Paramahamsa has to step down to the Majjhima Adhikari platform in order to preach. Because a Uttama Adhikari, he's simply, you know, immersed in Krishna consciousness and seen everybody who's serving Krishna and rolling on the ground in ecstasy. But a Majjhima Adhikari, he has to discriminate. There's a devotee, non-devotee, someone who's envious, someone who's innocent, etc. Like that, there has to be some discrimination for Majjhima Adhikaris. So preaching is meant for Majjhima Adhikaris. So pure devotees, yes, they also preach, I mean, Uttama Adhikaris preach by coming down to that platform of being, they're not become Majjhima Adhikaris, but they act as Majjhima Adhikaris. Yes, so it's interesting how the intelligence becomes covered for pure devotees and also people in the material world. And then another statement of intelligence becoming covered is from the second chapter of the Gita. Jayato Vishyapum Sangastepashit Vajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Krodha Vijayate Kama
Krodha Bhavati
Bhavati Samoha Samoha Smriti Vibrama. That's the same thing. Smriti, one's remembrance, which is intelligence or discrimination. Vibrama becomes covered. Smriti Brahmashad, Nashtabuddhi, Nashtabuddhi, Vinashyati. Then one becomes lost. That simply comes from contemplating sense objects. So the gopis, they contemplate Krishna and the same thing happens. Interesting point, isn't it? Jayato Vishad Pumsam. I think it's very interesting that Krishna is the Vishaya and the gopis are the Ashraya. Right? Krishna's the enjoyer, and gopis are the repository of love of Krishna. Jaito Shyamp was like, some goes, they ship a jayate, they get attached. Sangat sajayate kama. They become lusty after serving Krishna. Right? So the same thing happens. Of course, they don't get angry. Sometimes they get angry at Krishna. Anyway, thank you for that comment. Yes?
I have a question. This is an odd one. I know the human species, that the human entities on this planet, is we look like our creator in one sense.
Yeah, we're created in the image of God.
And yet, what about the Homo sapiens? What about Bigfoot? And what about the gorillas? They're very similar DNA.
Well, I would say the higher class humans, there's 400,000 species of human beings, and the higher class ones are similar. When we talk about the image of God, it means two hands and two legs. That's really what it means, because I am not exactly, it's not to be taken absolutely literally that, you know, I have the same type of eyes that Krishna has, lotus eyes. I have the same length of arms. I have the same bodily beauty as Krishna. It means two arms, two legs. Basically like that.
So, I know
I mean, many human beings, they do look like gorillas. I mean, I've seen like wrestlers, you know, pretty much. I wouldn't say that they look exactly like Krishna. I wouldn't say that I look exactly like Krishna. Krishna has a certain color body, like blackish blue, like the new rain cloud. And it's basically two hands, two arms, and two legs.
So our species, we're different because
we have the ability to discriminate.
We're under his... he chose us to be, let's make man, like in the Bible says, let's make man in our image. And the humans are different than all the other ones, even though we're all part and parcel.
Yes, because we have the ability to discriminate between right and wrong, and also plan for the future. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that you don't see too many animals with psychological diseases. But human beings, they have this disease of anxiety in the future, like that. So we have, I mean, you could put animals into anxiety, but, or put animals into what they call learned helplessness, too, just like human beings. But we have the ability to break through those things. We have the ability to use our intelligence. We have the ability to control the impulses. Impulse control. Someone who doesn't control the impulses is not human in reality, or acting as a human being. So that's what really what differentiates us. The higher the intelligence by which we can say this is wrong.
We came ultimately in the past. We came from the Homo sapiens. We are Homo sapiens.
Yeah, we are. Homo sapiens is the species that we're members of.
That's the scientific name of our species.
Yeah.
Right now.
We didn't come from the Homo sapiens.
But physically, it's different than what we are today.
No, we are Homo sapiens.
But they had a better...
You mean a caveman.
...outside, but they didn't have to have clothes. They survived.
He means a caveman.
Oh, caveman. Caveman, like Neanderthals. Or
well,
you're talking about Neanderthals. Anyway... Technically examining these things, we are devolving.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, to be exactly precise, the first living entities in the universe, the first human beings, like Swayambhuvamanu, they were far more advanced genetically, psychologically, and everything than us.
We're in the dark ages, so therefore we're going lower.
Well, we should go higher now. But anyway, the bodies... Even scientifically, it's been noted that the genetics are getting less complex, and we are, the human species is devolving over time. And that's actually brought out in the Vedic literatures, where you have the first human beings, like Swayambhuva Manu, Shatarupa, who are actually very high entities.
Yeah.
Very high entities. And you hear about these high entities in the Vedic literatures, too. Not only Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa, but there's many others.